जय राधा मधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा मधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरा बन चारी, जमुना तीरा बन चारी, जय राधा मधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा मधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिशिमात हिज बाय ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिशिमात हिज बाय ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गौ स्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथर श्रीमं भागवतं की Nitai Gaura Premanandi. O glory to the assembled devotees. O glory to the assembled devotees. O glory to the assembled devotees. O glory to Shishiguru and Shiguranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Soman Bonon, Chapter 19, Swallowing the Forest Fire. Text 5 through 7. Text number 5. Munjatavyam brashta margam krandamanam swagodanam samprapyatrishita srantas Tataste Sanyavartayam. Translation. Within the Munja forest, the cowherd boys finally found their valuable cows, who had lost their way and were crying. Then the boys, thirsty and tired, herded the cows onto the path back home. Text number 6. आहुता भगवता मेघ गंभीर जागिरा स्वाननिदनं श्रुत्वा प्रतिनेधु प्रहर्षिता. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead called out to the animals in a voice that resounded like a rumbling cloud. Hearing the sounds of their own names, the cows were overjoyed and called out to the Lord in reply. And today's verse in the board. Tata samanta davadu meketur. That's not the right metric. Let me see. Tata samanta. That was right. Okay, try it again. Okay, yeah. Tata samanta davadu maketur. Yadrichabhut Sajakrit Baunukasham. Yadrichabhut Sajakrit Baunukasham. Samirita Saratinol Banul. Samirita Saratinol Banul Mukair. Balilin Balelid Balelihanastira Jagaman Maham. Tata samanta davade maketur. Jadrichaja bhut sakrit vanaukasham. Samirita saratinol banol mukair. Balelihanastira jagaman maham. Tata samanta davane davadu me. Tata samanta davadu maketur. Yadrichaja bhut sakrit vanaukasham. Samirita saratinol banol mukair. Balelihanastira jagaman maham. Christian. Tataha, then, samantat, on all sides, dava dhumeketu, A terrible forest fire. Yadichaya, suddenly, abhut, appear, sajakrit, threatening destruction, vana okasham, for all of those present in the forest, samiritaha, driven, saratina, by its chariot driver, the wind, ulbana, terrible, ummakai, with meteor-like sparks, bilelihanaha, licking, stirajagamam, all moving and non-moving creatures, Mahan, very great, translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Suddenly a great forest fire appeared on all sides, threatening to destroy all the forest creatures. Like a chariot driver, the wind swept the fire onward, and terrible sparks shot in all directions. Indeed, the great fire extended its tongues of flames towards all moving and non-moving creatures. Purport. Just as Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys were about to take their cows back home, the forest fire previously mentioned raged out of control and surrounded all of them. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Ve Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimate Rupa Swami Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurabani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Chatarine Bancha kalpa taruvyasha kripa sindu vya eva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Text number 5. I read again and I'm going to read the short purpose of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami. Text number 5. Within the Munja forest, the cowherd boys finally found their valuable cows who had lost their way and were crying. Then the boys, thirsty, tired, and tired, herded the cows onto the path back home. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Finding the lost crying cows and other animals in the reed thicket, they brought them out. So, the whole pastime is that Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boy were so absorbed in their playful pastimes that they didn't pay attention to the cows, and the cows started to drift apart, and then they went into this Munja forest, or this reed thicket, which is basically this tall grass plants that grows very close to the river. Sometimes we see also in areas that are like damp type of spaces, and then you have those very, very tall grasses. So that's the Munja. Munja is these tall grasses. When you go to Bandhiravan, the place is there. It's called Munja something, where Krishna swallowed the fire. But yes, so The cows drifted into this forest of grasses, tall grasses, and they got lost. So, you know, sometimes this grass forest, they go for, you know, quite a distance. It becomes almost like a, how you call that, where, you know, you go into a labyrinth. Yes. So they couldn't find an exit. And they were very distressed, the cows. And the cowherd boys were very distressed. Everybody was very distressed, but finally they found the cows who were crying in this Munja forest of this reed thicket. And they were able to bring them out. Srila Jiva Goswami, they obtained the cows with all experiencing. They obtained the cows with all experiencing the highest auspiciousness. Samprapya, they returned all together. Samniavartayam, because of wandering all about, they became thirsty and tired. And Srila Jiva Goswami just quoted Srila Sanatana Goswami, so it's the same. So in text number 6, the Supreme Personality of Godhead called out to the animals in a voice that resounded like a rumbling cloud. Hearing the sound of their own names, the cows were overjoyed and called out to the Lord in reply. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This verse describes how Krishna rescued the cows. Seeing each one, he called out their names and their answer by mooing. Srila Jiva Goswami. What happened when they found the cows is described. The crest jewel of the cowherds called the cows to satisfy the cows and the cowherd boys. He called with a voice like a rumbling of clouds, which was very deep. The word Gambhira described primarily a deep hole in the ground, but that word was applied to Krishna's voice. By analogy, indicates the deep water in that deep hole from which the sound rising is deep in tone. The sound of the cloud is similarly deep. The voice of the Lord was similarly in tone. He called the cows individual names in that deep voice with a sweet tone. Hearing that, the cows were blissfully and made sounds in reply. Srila Sanatana Goswami. So Srila Jiva Goswami quotes a lot of Srila Sanatana Goswami, so it's the same. Yesterday, Keshava Kishore was recalling hearing cowherd people, you know, when they do have that relationship of calling the cows by their name. And you see that in Gitanagar, in Vrindavan, in, you know, at least that's my experience. I don't have much experience of the Goshalas in Vrindavan. I mean, I visit there, but not spending time like in Gitanagari. But I know that I also grew up, you know, in Venezuela, and my grandparents have the farm, you know, similar to what the story that Keshava Kishore was saying. So city kids, you know, the family will come and spend summers in the farm. Of course, you know, it's not, you know, animal protection, it's animal exploitation. So it was very nourishing as well as traumatizing. It really messed me up, the whole thing. But that's another part of the story. But one of the beautiful things is during the milking, They used to have this type of tradition that they sing for the cows. There's a particular music style in the plains of Venezuela that you sing to the cows. So it's beautiful. There's this beautiful tones, very, very pleasant. Let's see if I remember one. Say this cow, which name was Mariposa, which means butterfly. And then they will sing, La vaca mariposa tuvo un terne. So it's like a lullaby for the cows. So they sing like that. And you know, the cow is like, you know, standing there, but you can see there's this sweet relationship. It seems that it happens naturally in all cultures, that the cowherd have this relationship with the cow, especially when they go and milk them. Unfortunately, some, you know, this horrible Kali Yuga, that at the end, somehow or other, their heart is so messed up that at the end they kill those beautiful animals, you know. So anyway, but the point is that this natural connection that is there in terms of the calling the names of the cows and the cows, you know, responding very peacefully and like that. It's a beautiful thing. So in the culture of Krishna consciousness, in the culture of Krishna, the culture that Govinda has given us is of cow protection, and then that beautiful relationship is totally experienced. There is something so sublime about being with the cows when we have that opportunity. I think Bhakta Yash Prabhu has a very beautiful picture of him sort of cuddling with a cow. Nice. I was even told that, you know, you want to save yourself of your bald head, you allow a cow to lick your head. Some of those say it's like that. I didn't try, so that's why I lost. So there's this beautiful natural relationship. And in this case, Krishna calls the cows, and the cows immediately become static and they start to move in return. Krishna calls all the cows by name individually. And in text number 7, suddenly a great forest fire appeared on all sides, threatening to destroy all the forest creatures like a chariot driver. The wind swept the fire onwards, and terrible sparks shot in all directions. The sparks are described like meteor-like. So it was a heavy fire. You ever experiencing a fire, a raging fire? Scary. I mean, also, you know, in places like there is a lot of dryness in the summer, and then all of a sudden these fires, you know, explodes, then you can see sometimes, you know, like fire walls just like racing, you know, high. And so one time I have one of those experiences, you know, driving in the countryside, and then one of those fires was, you know, there, and you were stuck, so people trying to cross by, so you have to. And it was pretty scary. So this fire is described as terrible, very, very huge, so much that the sparks, you know, were like meteors. Terrible sparks shot in all directions. Indeed, the great fire extended its tongues of flames towards all moving and non-moving creatures. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. After reuniting with the cows and waiting to leave that place, suddenly they found themselves surrounded by fire in the forest. It is said that this fire was actually a friend of Pralamba. The fire was stirred by the wind and blazing with fierce flames. Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami, I'm going to read Srila Sanatana Goswami. After that, the forest fire, which had started previously, now spread in the 8 directions. Or at that time or place, the fire arose suddenly and by some fate. Some say that this fire demon was a friend of Pralamba. It seems to destroy the inhabitants of Braj, or it seems to want to live among the people of Braj since he entered Krishna's mouth later. Instead of Brajau Kasam, sometimes Banau Kasam is seen. It destroyed with flames like a firebrand all the trees and animals, since it spread everywhere. So the friends of Pralamba Asura, it is regularly understood, was the one who started this fire to destroy the inhabitants of Vrindavan and destroy Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan, at least the cowherd voice and the cows. So we know these two fires. There was a fire that happens right after Kaliya, right? Remember that one. And then there is this second forest fire. So Krishna, in two occasions, save the Brijavasis from this forest fire. And yesterday Harishan Prabhu was mentioning that what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains about these fires. And specifically this second fire refers to the obstacle, or is the actions of atheistic people that disturb the religious practices, principles, and activities of religion people. It's basically the fire that is done with the purpose of destroy religious principles or religious practice or the activities of religious people. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur write it in this way. The second forest fire represents the disruption of religious principles and interference with religious people by atheism. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, the atheists are described as asuras. Asuram bhava ashritaha, of those four classes of duskritinas, the asuras are among them, atheistic demons. People that actually not only don't believe in God, but sometimes they become agitated. You know, when they come in contact with God, or they hear about God or anything like that, disturbs them. So the first forest fire is the obstacle of sectarianism that is internally, is within the community of devotees. That's what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur say. He write it like this. Extinguishing the first forest fire, intercommunal distress external is caused by someone else. The first fire, it happens just like so many forest fires takes place. In general, you have, you know, explains like in bamboos, you know, the fire makes them hit each other, and then sparks start to come, and then poof, fires, you know, takes place. The second one is that it's arson. Some crazy individual, demoniac individual, criminal set, or just simply neglectfulness, you set a fire. It's a purposely set a fire for the, you know, purpose of destroying something. So the first, both fires are destroyed by Krishna. Prabhupada says that our movement can be only destroyed by that type of first fire. Right? Can be stopped. It can only happen. The only thing that can check this movement is if this internal fire happens. It's from within that can check the progress of this movement. And therefore, Prabhupada's instruction of, or last instruction, is that we have to be, it's a mandate for us, members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to be very conscientious about this and take the order of Srila Prabhupada to learn to cooperate, to learn to become, how you say, to not being victimized by this internal quarreling, or like what it says here, discord. This discord can only happen when there is this Kanishta type of approach to Krishna consciousness, meaning that In the Kanishta consciousness, we're still very much afflicted by our false ego and very much forced to enact our material propensities. And in that type of consciousness, we actually tend to create this sectarian or groupism. And in material consciousness, the particular feature of material consciousness is that we see externally. We cannot go beyond the external things that we perceive. So in material consciousness, from the perspective of material consciousness, we see these differences. We see external, so we start to see difference. And when we see differences, then we make our choices and we make our distinctions like that. And the natural thing is that we tend to go towards those who are like-minded, like us. Like we can actually relate, that are similar type of backgrounds, similar type of nature, similar type of thinking, like that. It's a natural thing. It's comfortable. And so in material consciousness, that's a natural thing. People, birds of the same feather flock together, right? That's the same. So in Krishna consciousness, it's different. In Krishna consciousness, we see what unifies us. But in Krishna consciousness, we also see the differences. So we see the two things simultaneously. And as, you know, one reality or one truth. Simultaneously, one and different. That's the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We don't go into this utopic space of, yeah, everything is one, and try to negate the variegatedness and the differences, because it doesn't exist. It's as unsustainable and dysfunctional as just seeing the difference in material consciousness. So this oneness of things, this is the impersonalism. And materialism is only differences. So both of them have no clue. And both of them create great disturbance in society and in the natural order of things. And both of them can create these fires. So Krishna destroyed this fire. How he destroyed this fire? Well, we hear, we pray that every morning. Sansara dava nala lida loka. Dava nala lila loka. Dava nava means a grace forest fire. It's a grace forest fire that is extinguished by the mercy of the spiritual master, the representative of Shiva Laram. We hear from Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, that this Harinam, this Sankirtan process that he has given us, destroy the fire of material existence. This, what is it? Cheto Darapana Bharjanam, Baba Maha, this Baba Maha, Maha, great forest fire, Baba Maha, Dava Agni, Nirvapanam, extinguish it, destroy it. So, this internal, we become protected from this internal fire by Krishna's process of Sankirtan Yajna, by the process of Krishna consciousness, by following the instructions of the spiritual master. The fire created by demons is a different thing. And that one, the devotees will naturally, immediately call up to Krishna, unifying. And Krishna immediately responds. Sometimes we see, I mean, there are certain places in which devotees are experienced the harassment of very demonic people. Remember back in the 90s how devotees from the Soviet Union were being hurt, actually, literally, in places, you know, even those countries that came out of the Soviet Union, but with the whole thing fell apart. Some of them, you know, they destroyed temples. You know, remembering hearing about devotees having to sort of like run for their lives, you know, like that. So these type of demoniac entities that create these fires allows the devotees to come together actually throughout the world and call for Krishna's help. And the result is that now in those places, Krishna consciousness is flourishing like anything. I mean, when we see the Krishna conscious activities that take place, you know, by the Soviet devotees and Ukrainian devotees, I mean, the thing is like powerful. This type of, you know, thousands of people just coming and doing Sankirtan together. It's pretty impressive how things flourish, you know. So Krishna protects the devotees in that way. Time is now up. interesting. I'm going to stop here. I know some of you have to go earlier, and I also have a few things to do. So any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. And thank you for mentioning those nice points by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Internal fire within one's own religious community and external fires outside of one's religious communities. As far as internal fires is concerned, since you mentioned that point, there's maybe you could check out this verse. It's a nice purport by Prabhupada's disciples in 11th canto. I looked it up, 11th canto, chapter 7, verse 45. In that purport, Prabhupada's disciples mentioned that to carelessly approach a Krishna consciousness person is like carelessly approaching fire. And we see internal, like there's a phrase that says, familiarity breeds contempt. And generally speaking, also kind of Hari Shampro mentioned this point the other day, rules and regulations make relationships respectful. And generally among friends, sometimes we get too familiar with each other. I appreciate it because the point I was mentioning yesterday, the same point, actually that's where I got this idea from, is that fire can be used to help us if we respect it, and fire can be used to hurt us if we get too close. Same with the Vaishnavas, this purport is saying. The Vaishnavas could be used to help us if we respect them. And we could hurt ourselves through them if we become too familiar with them. We could think we could say anything we want. We see in the material world, the Me Too movement, all these news reporters, they say things and do things to people who aren't following any religious principles, and they lose their jobs. So what's to speak of Vaishnavas? So if I had to ask a question, I haven't really formulated a question, just these are some thoughts I appreciate, but maybe I think I wrote something down as far as question is concerned. My question is, if I had to ask someone, how can we, it's very difficult, it seems like it's practically impossible to not become familiar with people when you see them every day. Then you become closer, so how do we maintain our respect and our gratitude, you know, when we see people every day, you know, we interact with people every day? How is that possible?
Yeah, it's a culture. But, you know, we have to also learn how to treat, how to behave. There is difference in sort of the relationships that are there with your peers, where those who are your elders or superiors and those who are, you know, younger than you or less experienced. So, you know, you establish that sort of relationship within friends. The principle, there's a principle of trust, respect, and service, tolerance, all these things, all these principles, they applied in all the three relationships. With your superiors, you're not tolerating your superiors. Sometimes you do, like say your parents. You know, they may be like, you know, meat eaters or this and that, or have some vices. You tolerate, but you respect because they're your elders, you know. So it does apply. All these different principles apply. We learn how to do it. So it's a matter of culture. It's a matter of maturing in culture and common sense. The overriding, you know, basic thing like is there. So one applies culture. You know, with my friend, yes, it's a much more, you know, we joke and now we mess around with us, but at the end, there's certain respect, you know, to respect our friend. You know, you respect, say, when the respect comes handy, when we see that there is a difference. You know, so sometimes with my friend may see things different than me. or he may have, you know, this particular propensity or this type of thing. And okay, I respect this guy, you know. I have good friends still that I keep very good friendship, and they're non-devotees. You know, they respect me, they know I'm a devotee, and they appreciate me as a devotee. And, you know, they say, and I respect them for what they are. They're good people. You know, I mean, that's in my, you know, so a part of their choices. Some of them, my brother is a Catholic, you know, a devout Catholic. So I appreciate him as a devout Catholic. Right on. So respect, common sense, culture. It's about us, it's, we grow on that and we cultivate those things. And as we cultivate, we become more mature in the application. Anything else?
Yes, regards to your last point, in regards to your, thank you for your answer, first of all, that made a lot of sense. And one last point I wrote down, maybe you could expand on that you mentioned about cooperate. Prabhupada says we should cooperate each other. And the famous pastime where Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he was, you know, when he first came in the movie, I think they were trying to do some program in the urban areas or something. He was working with some of Prabhupada's disciples at the time, and he went to Bhakti. Srila Prabhupada says, Prabhupada, there's prejudice in your movement. Everything is nice about your philosophy, but there's prejudice. And Prabhupada says, he gave a very nice answer. He's like, oh, if they're treating you like you're the body, then they're nonsense. So Bhakti Tirtha Swami is like, I knew it. But then Prabhupada says, if you're disturbed by it, that means you're also nonsense because you think you're the body also. And so my question is that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the third part, Anshakand, chapter 9, in the last part mentions the pastime Brigamoni. Brigamoni purposely disrespected his superiors. But it's actually described that the Lord forced him to disrespect his superiors to teach a certain lesson. And it says in that pastime that anyone who criticizes Brigamoni, thinking him to be disrespectful, not knowing the Lord's purpose, that person will be guilty of committing Vaishnava Parad. And that's what I kind of appreciate with the Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Maybe the Lord was teaching Bhakti Tirtha Swami a lesson through the devotees. And my question, and maybe you could explain about that, and also the difference between disagreeing with others and disrespecting others. Prahlad disagreed with Hiranyakashipu. My dear father, I disagree that you're God, but I wish you well. I wish everything, you know, I wish you health. I wish you well. So sometimes devotees may take disagreeing as disrespecting, and then sparks fly. But how can we distinguish between, you know, when potential sparks flies, between maintaining your own principles of Krishna consciousness that you have faith in at this moment, and trying to maintain your relationships with other Vaishnavas who disagree with you, and they may potentially think it all, you're disrespecting me. So I'm not sure if that was clear, but
yeah, it's generally, you know, these are the internal conflicts that we have, and in general, you know, it's natural that these things happens, you know, in the community of devotees. And that is the how you say the workshop for making us into Vaishnavas, you know, to learn how to navigate in a space that is full of variegatedness. Like say, if we were not in Krishna consciousness, we definitely won't ever have us the opportunity to intimately or sort of like more closely associate with so many different types of devotees. You know, most likely we associate, like I remember before being a devotee, all the people that I associate with was just artists. That's it. You know, business people, not much. Tech people, not much. You know, sport people, not much. Just artists. And that's my comfort area. You know, so now the majority of my friends are business people and tech people and, you know, like that. You know, teachers. So, and so it's a whole variety of them, you know, and of complete different cultures, different propensities, different, you know, this and that. And, you know, it's not easy at times, especially when you have to work close together in some similar project or you're in the ashram. Usually, you know, if you move in the ashram and you have to live closely with a whole bunch of people that are different than you, you know, then that's quite a test. Most devotees, they, you know, at one point you have a conflict with someone. And then you learn because, you know, both persons are trying to cultivate these qualities of devotee. And then you start to learn, you learn, you learn. So it's a matter of overcoming this kanishta space. And that's, we all meant to actually elevate ourselves or move towards, you know, the higher, much higher spaces of Krishna consciousness. You move to the nishta space and then to the uttama space. That's what we meant for. So one time we break, we will break through. Breakthrough. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Garantarashiman Bhagavatam ki jai.